We think about the angels, and I want to focus tonight just for a few minutes on what the angels talk to the shepherds about, and what Stella read. What's the best news you've ever heard? Maybe news that's caused you to do a happy dance, right? Or you smile and you clap. Maybe even it's caused you to cry. I'm thinking like you've just gotten engaged and you're going to be married. Or you find out that you're with child for the first time. Or better yet, something I actually enjoy more is watching parents tell first-time grandparents that they're going to be. And my favorite cliche is the bun in the oven one, and the dad trying to figure out what's going on. I think that's great. Maybe it's good news you're in remission or you're cancer-free. Or maybe you got into that school that you wanted to get into, or you got the job that you'd applied for, or maybe it's just that you got the raise that you asked for. The offer that you put down on a house was accepted, or maybe you bought your first car. Well, we live in a world that's filled with bad news, right? If it bleeds, it leads. And so good news is awesome. It's an opportunity for rejoicing. Yet I would say that in each one of those, the good news is only the start of the story, is it not? Because I like to drive the new car that I bought, right? I like to live in the house that the offer was accepted on. The good news of engagement is not that you're engaged. It's the outcome. It's that you're being married, and marriage is good. It's that you're having kids, and that kids are good. It's that you don't have that disease or that cancer, and health is good. It's that education or jobs or greater provision. It's all in the outcome that's good. And so as Luke wrote, to prove that Jesus is Christ the Lord, he reminds all who read it heaven's perspective. And heaven's perspective of this is good news of great joy. And those aren't Luke's words. Those are actually words directly from heaven through an angel of the Lord. And like an engagement and a pregnancy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it's good news not just because it's news. It's good news because of the outcome. What is this baby going to do? What's all the fuss about? Well, it's that the gospel of Jesus Christ is pronounced on earth. God's plan for redemption is coming to pass. It's continuing. And so I just remind you of what the angels say. They say this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for heaven's proclamation. And that when we hear the angels' words, we know that they are your messengers. And this is exactly what you want the world to hear regarding the birth of you in the flesh, Jesus Christ the Lord. And so, Lord, encourage us with the good news of Jesus Christ this Christmas, I pray in his name. Amen. Tonight, I just want to point out four reasons that come directly from heaven, four reasons why Christmas is such good news of great joy. And immediately when you hear what the angels say, you hear Christmas is good news because there's nothing to fear. What does the angel say? He says, "Fear not." Now, I have to admit, if I'm a shepherd and the glory of the Lord is shining about me, I understand why they're afraid. Because each time you read about the glory of the Lord revealed on the earth, those who witness it are left trembling. They're left fearful. From Israel at Mount Sinai to Korah's rebellion in the Negev, to the dedication of both the tabernacle and the temple, to Isaiah's vision and many other occurrences, we understand, and I would suggest that the reason for this trembling and this fear is actually found in the Bible, and it's found in Romans 3. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when man is face to face with the glory of God, their sin is crystal clear. Not that you can look through it, but they see exactly what it is. And they can identify with Isaiah, the prophet, when he, in a vision, is within the glory of God and he says, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips." Yet the angel says, "Don't fear. Don't fear this glory." Because the message is not a bad message. It's not bad news that's come. The message is good news. Jesus is not someone that you should dread. It's someone that should bring you great joy. And if I could jump ahead just a little bit, the angel says this because Christmas is not a story of condemnation. It's the continuing story of God's salvation. You remember John 3, right? You all are familiar with John 3:16, right? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But do you know what verse 17 says? It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Do not fear. You see, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. The fact is, Jesus didn't come to condemn anyone. Because the angel says, fear not, this is good news of great joy for all people. You see, Christmas is good news because it's for all people. This news was not just for the shepherds. This news was not just for Mary and Joseph. This news was not even for the Jewish people. This news is for all people of all time, and that means you, and that means me. And the angel's message was not merely for the shepherds, but rather I see it as a foreshadow of the Great Commission. The good news of Jesus Christ to be taken into all the world, so much so that as Luke wrestles with the good news, the gospel, he has to write a second letter. We call that second letter the Acts of the Apostles. And you know what happens in that second letter? It tells the story of how the good news of great joy went to all peoples. And it spread throughout all the world because this good news is for everyone. All people. And all people means all people. And the reason it's such good news to all people is because the Savior, Christ the Lord, had come. Jesus the Savior, Christ the Lord, has come. And it's my understanding that even the lowliest of shepherd boys would have had knowledge of the Davidic covenant and the promises that surrounded the Christ in the Davidic covenant. Hearing that a Savior who is Christ, Messiah, the Lord, and that he was born in the city of Bethlehem would have elicited prophetic joys and anticipation. And records are abundant from both the New Testament as well as the secular writers, Josephus included, that the Jewish people were absolutely tired of Roman rule and activity. In fact, they were actively praying in the temple for God to send a Messiah, a Christ. They were actively seeking and teaching Old Testament Christology. And all of that is very clear in the Gospels, even as Jesus taught. So when the angel says, hey, a Savior, Christ the Lord, has come, he means one and only thing, that God's promised Messiah had come in order to save them. Now, to be fair, he didn't say what kind of Savior he would be, only that a Savior would come. But I remind you, good news is not always about the immediate facts. Good news is often more about the outcome of those facts. So in John 3, when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, He speaks to Nicodemus with outcomes as the purpose of that conversation. In John 3, Jesus says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world," verse 17, but he continues on and he says, "but in order that the world might be saved through him," his Son. You see, the good news that you don't have to fear, that's to all people, is that God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world so that the world might be saved through Jesus. Verse 18 then continues on, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already." Why? Well, Jesus says, because he's not believed on the name of the only Son of God. And what we don't want to hear, what you don't like to hear, what we lie to ourselves about is that Jesus didn't come to condemn us. And the lie is that Jesus came to point out our sin. But the Bible tells something totally different. The Bible says that we're already condemned. He didn't come to point out our sin. He came out because we are sinners. In fact, Romans 2 makes a perfect case that man can't even hold to their own standard. Forget God's law, forget God's standard, but if you make a standard, you know who's going to break the standard? You. You are. Now, that doesn't mean that God just says, okay, I'm going to throw out my standard. Paul is making the case to say, listen, you can't keep a standard. You are a sinner. You can't even follow your own ways. You need a Savior because you're a sinner. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And that's not God's fault. That's not Jesus' fault. But God made it his problem. He made it his purpose to remedy, whereby he took upon himself human flesh in the body of Jesus of Nazareth, so that the world through him might be saved. And the reason that the world sees Jesus as bad news is what Jesus continues on in 3:19, and he says, this is judgment, that people love darkness rather than light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, doesn't come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. And the point is this, Christ the Lord was born over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem for the purpose of saving mankind from mankind, from themselves. Because we in and of ourselves condemn ourselves in our will, in our words, and in our works. And although Luke doesn't tell us how this salvation would be secured, the story continues. And we are told who would secure it. And that is Mary and the Holy Spirit's Son, whose name was Jesus, a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And although the shepherds did not know the outcome, I believe the angels understood it, just like you and I do. And like Luke's readers, we've heard that Jesus died on the cross for our sin, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried. Oh, and by the way, you know who buried him? A guy by the name of Nicodemus that we've read about in John chapter 3. And we've heard that he rose again on the third day according to Scripture, so that by him and through him and for him we have been saved, are saved, and are being saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's good news. And the significance of that cannot be overstated. Christmas is good news. A Savior, Christ the Lord, has come. And if one angel wasn't good enough to affirm it, you know what happens next, right? The whole sky, Luke says, opens up as the heavens empty themselves and the angelic host can be seen and heard saying, "Glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And the whole angel band praise and glorify God, affirming the good news, the message of Jesus Christ is not a man's message, it's heaven's message. And Christmas means that God brings peace to those with whom he's pleased. You see, Christmas is good news because it brings peace with God for those who believe. And the question we have to ask is, when the angel says, well, with whom he is pleased, well, with whom is God pleased? Because that's the people who he offers peace. So how do I please God? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, or I'm glad I asked that question. Because the Bible's really, really, really clear about this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. And starting all the way back in Genesis, moving all the way through the early church, there's this great chapter in the book of Hebrews that says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, not by works, by faith. Because faith is what pleases God. Yet faith is not a passive ideology. It demands a wholehearted acceptance and devotion and obedience. It's not perfection, it's wholeheartedness. And the good news of Christmas is that devotion to Christ the Lord by faith brings peace with God. The Bible says that Jesus is our peace, and that his peace was secured by the blood of the cross. And God is the God of peace who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. The Bible says that since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the message of Christmas is good news of great joy. Not merely because a baby was born, it's because of what that baby would do and who that baby is. And we gather tonight because of that good news. And the good news that the angels shared over 2,000 years ago is the good news that not only brings you and I together, it's the good news that's bringing millions and millions of like-minded believers together. It's the good news that our entire world is saying, Merry Christmas. And they're proclaiming in all of the world the good news of great joy, where God, by his peace, raised up his son from the dead, because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so I remind you that as we pause to celebrate our Savior's birth, amidst the busyness, amidst the expenses, amidst the expectations, Christmas is good news. It's good news of great joy. The main character of God's story has come to save man, to redeem him from the curse of the law, not to condemn him, but to save him and to say, I'm offering you peace. Do you have peace tonight? Do you have peace tonight? Because when you have peace, you can say with the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among me. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for